My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. When my generation was growing up in the late 50s and early 60s, we seemed to live in simpler times. Without the distraction of social media, smartphones, and video games, we spent a lot of time engaging in physical activity, reading for school and for pleasure, and enjoying the neighborhoods and the world around us. Today's kids face different challenges, bombarded with digital communication, upsetting messages from media, social pressure, and even bullying, children are facing stress and feeling overwhelmed. What can parents do to help their children learn to de-stress, relax, and turn their minds to positivity? My very special guest this week on Destination Unlimited, Malika Chopra, says the answer is to meditate and just breathe. A wellness expert and daughter of Deepak Chopra, Malika learned to meditate when she was 9 years old. Her two daughters, ages 15 and 12, also practice meditation. Drawing on their experiences and her own, she wrote Just Breathe, Meditation, Mindfulness, Movement, and More, a fun and easy guide to meditation for kids. Malika is the author of Living with Intent, 100 Promises to My Baby, and 100 Questions from My Child. She's a busy mom, a sought-after speaker, and the founder of Intent.com. She lives in Santa Monica, California, and she joins me to discuss her beautifully illustrated and easy-to-follow book for children ages 8 to 12, Just Breathe, Meditation, Mindfulness, and More. Please join me in welcoming to Destination Unlimited, Malika Chopra. Welcome, Malika.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you so much for joining us. So, Malika, please share with us your early path. What was it like growing up as the daughter of a world-renowned physician and New Thought leader?
So, you know, that's usually the first question I get. And I think my brother and I, my brother Gautam is 3.5 years younger than me. For us, our father was always our father. We never really intellectualized or thought too much about what was happening as we were kids. But many people may not know that my father's early days, when my brother and I were kids, until about the age of 9, my memories of my father are really of my father as a stressed out doctor who was working 24/7, who drank to go to sleep, who smoked incessantly, and was basically unhappy. My parents had come here as young immigrants, and they arrived here with $8 in their pocket and had me pretty soon after they got here. And my dad was just, you know, ambitious and worked hard, moonlit as a doctor almost every single night. So he really wasn't around, and it was only around the time that I was 9 and his life changed that our family's life really changed. And then my dad's kind of popularity really took decades to happen. So for us as kids, I think we always feel like we were a very normal family, actually. I never thought of it as something completely different. That being said, as my dad became more popular and his books became more popular, what we were able to see is a lot of people who came to my father who were going through struggles in life, whether it was being diagnosed with a disease or a relationship, you know, changes or depression. And so we really saw the power that he brought to some people's lives for transformation.
Now, was it your father who taught you to meditate at age 9?
So my father was going through his own midlife crisis, I think, and was walking in Cambridge and saw a TM, Transcendental Meditation Center. And he had always been intrigued by philosophy and, you know, concepts, but not really practiced anything. So he went into the TM Center and had a life-transforming experience where immediately he stopped smoking and drinking and came home that day and took my mom to the TM Center to learn. The next day, actually, my brother and I learned. So we learned at, you know, Transcendental Meditation from teachers there. And then he had his brother learn and my mom's sister learn and the entire Indian community learned because it was such a dramatic shift for him. So I was nine.
And what was that experience like for you, the initial introduction to meditation?
So I think as kids, we didn't really think about it that much again. But I think what happened is as kids, we saw the transformation that happened in my parents. So my father suddenly, you know, a lot of the habits that kind of created stress and tension and fighting in our house transformed. My parents seemed happier. My dad was taking more of an interest in me and my brother. So I think the experience wasn't so much about what I was kind of experienced in my own meditation practice as a nine-year-old, but it was really about the transformation in our family. And that's why I feel so excited about the work that I get to do now, because, you know, I've really seen how it affected and changed my own family.
How did starting your meditation practice at a young age shape your life?
So I would say again, I credit meditation with the shift in my family's happiness and family's transformation. For me personally, I learned when I was young. So I feel like I was gifted tools by my parents that helped me anchor myself, know myself, pause, go, you know, shift from fight-flight reactions to more responsive reactions to situations. Again, not intellectualized, but just by the practice of these techniques, I feel meditation gave me a lot of security because I felt that I could control and moderate my reactions to things in better ways. So the only thing I would say is at the same time, you know, I'm 40, almost 48 now. So I've been meditating for over 40, like almost 40 years. I'm a irregular meditator. And so, you know, I like to share that with people as well, is that each one of us finds our own journey. And that's been my story as well.
So you have the transformation of your family through this practice, your personal transformation. You were basically brought up at that point in a home that had turned to a very spiritual and wonderful home. How was that as compared to some of your friends and your peers at that time?
So we were, my parents were very much an immigrant family growing up in Boston. So, you know, our core was our Indian family who had also come to the U.S. as well as that Indian community. I think what happened is as my dad's shifted from, you know, being a doctor and seeing patients to really advising and working with other people, there was obviously the family transformation. But, we were exposed to really interesting people. And I think the biggest insight that I had as a kid, you know, we had a lot of famous people who came to my dad's center and things like that. But the biggest insight that we probably saw is that, you know, all people struggle and suffer, and that, you know, there's kind of the material that you can look at, but then really addressing deeper wounds, healing, finding silence could really have transformation. So I think we became more sensitive to a lot of the pain and suffering that people were having because we saw it quite intimately because, you know, it was really a family journey for us, not just my father's journey.
How did that life experience shape your own experience with your beloved daughters, Tara and Leela?
So I think for me, and I talk about this in my book, Living with Intent, you know, I've had a messy journey. The subtitle of that book is My Somewhat Messy Journey to Purpose, Peace, and Joy. And what I've learned, you know, over several decades now of my life is that often we find our way. We feel like we're healthy. We feel like we're connected. We feel like our work is of purpose. But then what's happened to me is there are many kind of moments where suddenly, you know, I'm kind of doing my thing. And then I realize, gosh, I'm really not happy. I'm not healthy. I don't know why I'm doing what I'm doing. And so I think for me, actually, the first, I've had several of those moments, but a very powerful moment was in becoming a mother. And, you know, I had worked with MTV and in the entertainment industry, and I was 5 months pregnant on the morning of 9/11, and I share the story in many talks, but I, you know, that was a day that it suddenly dawned on me that I was becoming a mother, bringing an innocent soul into a planet that actually had a lot of suffering and confusion and violence. And I really had to think about my intentions. And that's something that, you know, has been a thread throughout my life, is, you know, who am I, what do I want, and how can I serve? And so for me, actually in becoming a mother, I think I found my own unique voice of how I could continue on this journey as a mother, how I could serve myself, my children, and then slowly kind of share those ideas with other people as well.
So asking yourself those questions at that point, a point of reevaluation, is that something that you recommend to everyone?
I do. So when we were young kids, my brother and I were the guinea pigs for all of my father's experiments, including meditation. But he taught us also about the power of intention, and recognizing that intentions represent our deepest desires. He would have us repeat a phrase that goes like this. It says, "I am responsible for what I see. I choose the feelings I experience and set the goals I will achieve. And everything that seems to happen to me, I ask for and receive as I have asked." And he would ask us as kids, "What do you ask for?" And we'd say, "Oh, tickets to the Celtics, a trip to Hawaii, a new Atari game." And he'd listen and he'd say, "Okay, we can work on that. But what about asking for love, connection, inspiration, a sense of purpose?" And we were taught at a young age to really ask for those qualities in our life. And so that's something that has been this thread for me throughout, and this idea of really self-reflection. So we may get into this later, but I know meditation and mindfulness are very trendy now. You know, I've kind of lived in this world, it sounds like you have also, for decades now. And it's fascinating to see how popularized it's become. And that's really nice. But I like to remind people that this isn't just about stress management. These are wisdom traditions that really are about self-reflection. I never want to lose that.
My guest is Malika Chopra. She's the author of Just Breathe, Meditation, Mindfulness, Movement, and More. And we'll be back with more of Malika after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Tune in to The Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World, with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week, Malika Chopra. She's the author of Just Breathe, Meditation, Mindfulness, Movement, and More. Why is it so important, Malika, for all of us to have that place where we feel safe and happy, especially at this time?
So I, as a mom, I have seen how so many of our kids are feeling a sense of loss and not feeling anchored. And what I can share with my kids and their friends and other parents are techniques to find that safe, happy place inside of us and not kind of, you know, always be object referral to what we're seeing on the outside, particularly in times right now where we're so overstimulated and distracted. I think it's really important. I think it always has been really important throughout history that people find that place inside of them where they find strength and peace and a sense of knowingness of themselves and also that they're part of something bigger, to feel relevant and to contribute. So, you know, I think that really is the core. And, you know, we can talk about that as kind of being in touch with your soul and knowing who you are. And so in my book, Just Breathe for Kids, I've really identified that as my safe, happy place, because that's an easier way to conceive it.
Absolutely. You know, research shows that when you find that quiet place, your body and brain are healthier, as you write in your book. How does it help young children to be raised with the awareness and experience of meditation, mindfulness, movement, and more?
So I think I come from a tradition where, again, this is about, you know, the family and the community as well exploring this. So I do believe that we can give tools to our children to help them breathe, to calm down, to be aware of their body. And, you know, this really will enhance their life. But I do think the first step is actually often for the parents in their lives to also experience and explore and connect as well.
Do you think there should be... I'm sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Please go ahead.
I was going to say, I've seen yoga classes and meditation classes for adults. I've seen recently yoga classes for children. Do you think there should be combined classes for both?
So there are, you know, and that's what's been amazing for me as I wrote this book. When my father started talking about the mind-body connection and meditation and yoga was becoming popular, he was considered the witch doctor who was selling snake oil. So we grew up with my father attacked all the time. You know, that was really the way that we grew up. And now, and I think that's why I'm so grateful for the work that I get to do, is there has been so much, you know, I think in this society, we depend on research. And so there's been so much research that quote unquote validates the benefits of these wisdom traditions. And so what I've seen as I've kind of been out sharing this book is that so many classrooms now, so many schools, so many sports teams, people are incorporating these techniques more and more because they really do work. So for me, that's very inspiring. And, you know, I think we can let go sometimes of the labels and, you know, simplify. And that's what I tried to do in this book as well, is really write it for children, to empower children directly to discover and use these techniques in their life.
Now, everyone's heard of meditation. Some people don't understand the practice. How does meditation help to reduce stress and keep us calm?
So, you know, to break it down really simply, as I explain it to kids, meditation is about calming your mind. Mindfulness is about being more aware of your thinking, your body, and what's going on around you. Yoga is a way to use breath and movement to also connect with your body. So those are just very simple definitions of the difference between them. So, you know, there's, again, and one can get very particular on the research, but in mindfulness, there's been quite a bit of research now done in terms of kids and awareness and really how it helps from and, you know, it's very basic. As we kind of slow down, as we breathe deeper, and our breath slows down in meditation, we start to get more rest, and that kind of creates more healing benefits, just like we sleep when we're sick. And so the benefits really then manifest into you know, releasing good hormones in your body, dealing with cortisol and other stress hormones, reducing those. And then those have the effects of helping adults and kids with just better biomarkers in your health, from, you know, cholesterol, reducing cholesterol, to improving your sleep, to helping children and adults focus and learn better. So, you know, that's what's amazing about today is that there are reams and reams of research. And the way research is conducted is it's, you know, a very like for, you know, practicing X amount, it will have this effect. So, you know, what we're seeing now is just more and more research coming out, which I think is what has popularized it. But at the end of the day, this is about the experience. And I think for people who practice meditation, the experience that they have often is beneficial. It is kind of calming down. There may be some struggle in between, but there is a reason that these traditions have lasted throughout the world over centuries, because they really do help people.
Children are natural physical posers. They seem to love to bend and twist their bodies into different positions and play. How do you introduce children to yoga?
So what I have loved so much as I've been releasing this book is I've, for the first time, actually gone into lots of classrooms really been also with younger kids, because I'm used to talking to adults and parents. But this book has given me the opportunity to actually interact directly with kids. And it is really amazing to see like a kindergartner through second grade, it's really hard for them to sit still. And I don't think we should expect them to sit still. And so that's why I think yoga and breathing and, you know, in the book, I do have some kind of fun, silly looking, laugh inducing, giggle inducing exercises. And it's amazing to watch these kids who like kind of are moving around, you know, just they can't sit still. You can't even expect them to sit still, but like we'll find like that moment of just a pause or quiet when you do something like tree pose, which requires, you know, finding your balance, modulating your breath. So making it fun, but also giving them that moment. I think kids are actually what I love about working with kids as they grow older. So I was saying K through two seems to be one age or one behavior, very different each year. But then as you move into the third, fourth, fifth, sixth grades, these kids are like kind of more curious. They're willing to try different things. They ask a lot of great questions. So I think kids, what I found, are really intrigued. So many of us make an assumption that, oh, you know, kids will never do this. I actually find sometimes it's much easier to work with kids than with adults.
It's important for adults to build habits and rituals and have a practice that they can rely upon. Can this also be established with children?
So I have strong opinions on this, again, because the way that I grew up, I strongly believe that we should not force our children to meditate. We should not try to force any behavior for them. Rather, as a parent or as a teacher, as a caregiver, we should lead by example, not words. So I really feel that if you are a parent who wants to incorporate this into your family's life, or maybe a parent who is seeing that your children or your child needs some tools and exercises, I would recommend you find your own practice first. You find a practice that helps you connect. You lead by example through your regular habit and kind of showing your children how this is important to you. Then you kind of give your kids like, you know, the tools, but then let them figure out how to use them. And that really is the way that I've found that I grew up, that so many of the other kids that I know, the ones who really incorporated this in a lifelong practice were the ones who found the benefits themselves. And as you do these practices, I realize, and as I've said, it's been this somewhat messy journey, that I go through phases where I'm very regular. And then I go through phases, even years, where I literally have not even had the time in my own mind to meditate. So, and those are the times that I'm more stressed. And so it's really something that we drive ourselves.
And then the parents become adroit at their practice. The children are shown by example, and they learn their practice. How about the family that practices together?
As a kid, I used to come home from school and my mom would do her meditation every day. And it was a thing that my brother and I liked to do with my mother. She was meditating no matter what, around 4 o'clock. And so it was a really lovely way to connect with her. And I've tried to do that with my daughters, again, not forcing them, but I still can sometimes get my 14-year-old to meditate with me in the afternoon.
That's beautiful. My guest is Malika Chopra. She's the author of Just Breathe, Meditation, Mindfulness, Movement, and More. Malika, please tell our listeners and our readers how they can get your book and find out about more about you and your work.
So the book, Just Breathe, is available literally anywhere. So, in bookstores, on Amazon, I love to call out the independent bookstores because many of them are carrying it as well. And then you can learn more about me just at MalikaChopra.com.
And also tell us about Intent.com.
Yes, so Intent actually has transitioned a bit, so I would invite people, I've transitioned it now to the blog, so actually if you can come to intentblog.com, and it's really this forum, which is lovely, where just sharing community ideas about all of these techniques.
And we'll be back with more of Malika Chopra and Just Breathe, Meditation, Mindfulness, Movement, and More after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give him a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve! It's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org, a public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for inspired conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Hi, this is Bill Maher. I can find humor in almost anything, but one thing I never laugh about is cruelty to animals. If you don't get the joke either, right. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. 501 Front Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week is Malika Chopra. She's the author of Just Breathe, Meditation, Mindfulness, Movement, and More. Malika, what are the benefits of raising relaxed children?
Oh, I think there's so many benefits, right? For us as a family, we aren't kind of being driven by adrenaline and stress and high cortisol levels. So there's just kind of the everyday peace. But again, what stress does is it manifests in physical dis-ease, you know, and discomfort. And so I think if early on we can create a family life that is peaceful, and that means having kids that also are peaceful, and, you know, kids often reflect the energy of their parents, and that's why I do believe it's kind of the parent journey and the children's journey that becomes a family journey. But I think the benefits really last an entire lifetime, for your entire lifetime, if as a child you can have a peaceful home.
And how do these reflect in a child's educational process?
I think, again, different children learn differently. So I think in my experience, what these techniques allow is self-reflection, is more of a kind of comfort and knowingness of the best way that a child can learn for themselves, or even as a parent, being more aware of, you know, our kids' strengths, and, you know, how they can learn, how they can process information. So what all these techniques does is they just increase awareness. So awareness in terms of whether it's physical, emotional, intellectual. So I think that's why these techniques are very important. Now, of course, some of the research shows that kids are able to focus better, have more empathy, et cetera, and all those, you know, help with lifelong learning.
How may the techniques in your book help children who might not have the blessing of a spiritual and resourceful mommy?
So I just finished literally yesterday my next book, which is called Just Feel, and it's on social and emotional intelligence and kind of written as a complement to Just Breathe. And, you know, for this one, it was a little bit more challenging for me because you know, I really wanted to be sensitive, and I always wanted to be sensitive, but, you know, there are, unfortunately, children who have faced a lot of trauma, a lot of abuse, a lot of, you know, depression, and social ailments as well. And so I think what we need to do as the adults in children's lives is, you know, ideally, obviously, create like this peaceful atmosphere. But that's not the reality for many, 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 many children, if not most children. And so I think it needs to be slowly done, and that's why I think techniques like just breathing, you know, just learning to take deep breaths, to pause, to be aware of kind of how stress manifests itself physically in our body, and then how to deal with those kind of physical ailments even, and going through a process, but going through it slowly, really can create transformation, but it needs to be done in a way that's not kind of stimulating more anxiety and stress. And so I've been learning a lot from, you know, experts on who work with children who have dealt with a lot of trauma. And I think it's just a question of doing it slowly. But at the same time, oh my God, they need these techniques so much because the healing really has to happen at a deep place.
We've seen in this country, unfortunately, the effects of early childhood trauma manifest in adults with many different problems, including drug abuse, including the lack of socialization and skills, the lack of being able to function in our world and society. How important, this is obviously so important, what would you stress to people about taking care of these kids?
So I think we need to be an empathetic society, and I think empathy comes when we also can be more connected to ourselves, because then we can kind of listen and feel, you know, what other people are going through as well. And so I do think that why I believe in these techniques is that I think they make us you know, fundamentally kinder, more moral, and empathetic people, but again, not on an intellectual level, but on a really spiritual level. And so I think that's where we're going to see transformation ultimately, is if as a society we start to really feel the pain and the suffering that we are going through, as well as that others are going through. And, you know, yes, right now, I think, you know, it feels just kind of so jarring and overwhelming, you know, whether it's the rhetoric or what's happening, you know, in terms of inequality or socially what seems just kind of so unfair for so many people. So hopefully, you know, as people learn to be more empathetic at a spiritual level, they will reach out to others in a more genuine way.
May it be, please. Your book is filled with wonderful exercises and techniques to help children through some of the ailments and stresses that are part of daily life. Let's share a few of these with our listeners and readers. Talk about getting rid of butterflies in the tummy.
Yeah, so, you know, that's what was fun about this book, is because I wrote it for 8 to 12-year-olds. We tried to just add fun and color and silliness to the whole thing. So, you know, so many of these techniques are basic yoga, meditation, and mindfulness techniques, but I really wrote them, you know, in a way that could be fun. So the butterflies in your tummy is really just taking a deep breath and envisioning, you know, when so many of us are nervous, we say we have butterflies in our stomach and we feel that anxiety, really taking a deep breath and then visualizing, you know, all the colors and patterns and, you know, craziness of those butterflies, and then taking, you know, that really effortful breath out and breathing them out and envisioning, you know, all those butterflies flying out. So that's something that I found with kids. They really have fun with that in terms of envisioning the butterflies and then really blowing them out and seeing them go far away.
Kids are so much better at visualization than adults, aren't they?
You know, it's because they're just more innocent. I think as adults, we're constantly trying to intellectualize, whereas kids often they just dive in and feel and experience. So for me, that's why it's been so refreshing to work with kids.
And how do you address headaches with children?
So many kids now, more and more, are having headaches. I think we have overstimulation as well as just kind of rising anxiety. So the headache exercise that I share in the book, again, goes from a traditional yoga technique, but it's really focusing on our, first our breath, just taking a deep breath, but then feeling your heartbeat first in your body, but then really focusing on your heartbeat in your hands. And again, as you kind of do that, what happens is it helps divert blood flow. So that is a traditional yoga technique that I've shared in there as well.
And you have a technique that I think not only children, but adults really need to use today, cooling down when you get angry or embarrassed.
And so this one, I had so much fun. I got to do Good Morning America with Michael Strahan, who's, you know, a popular and just amazing personality. And we had so much fun. We had a group of kids. And this one is, again, traditional breathing yoga exercise, which is curling your tongue. And he could not curl his tongue, which, you know, many people can't curl our tongue. So we had a lot of fun just laughing and giggling. And so you can do this either curling your tongue or keeping your tongue flat, taking a deep breath in through your nose, and then breathing, so you basically are breathing in cool air and then breathing out through your tongue. Taking a deep breath in and then with your curled or flat tongue, breathing the air out. So that what that does is it, again, brings the cool air in and then the warm air out.
And it instills a bit of a silliness factor, which obviously is very, very disarming.
It is. And when I'm in classrooms, this one just brings out so many giggles. It's so much fun.
What about meditation for pain?
So again, I think with pain, you know, and many people are in a lot of pain. So using breath and often, using kind of visualizations of whether it's a light blue color or cooling to really focus on the area and being aware of the area of breath can sometimes alleviate that.
And falling asleep?
So this is another traditional yoga exercise because, you know, often insomnia is because we have just racing thoughts. So in this one, we just use like breathing into the count of one, breathing out to the count of two, then breathing into the count of two, breathing out to the count of three, and just increasing the numbers. And that helps to slow down our breath.
Mindfulness plays a very important part in the teachings that you share. You talk about noticing what you're eating or being mindful of eating. How does that help?
So I think we often eat just, and often we eat out our feelings, we eat in a hurry, are multitasking when we eat. So mindful eating is a wonderful way to slow down, to pay attention to the colors of your food, the texture of your food, the taste of your food. And so we can really use eating as a really kind of, and it's a great one to do with kids, even at a meal, is to kind of slow down and for 10 minutes really mindfully eat your food.
And finally, noticing one's voice.
So this was another exercise my dad used to make my brother and I do, where he would make us go for a day without criticizing, condemning, or complaining. And that became such an insightful exercise in how our self-talk affects our external reality. This is a fun one with kids as well, because you realize how easy it is for us to be self-critical or judge other people. And just taking an hour, and I challenge people who are listening, take an hour in your day and try to do that, and you'll be kind of amazed at the shift.
Absolutely. My guest is Malika Chopra. She's the author of Just Breathe, Meditation, Mindfulness, Movement, and More. And we'll be back with more after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicers, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this, she even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Back on Destination Unlimited. My guest is Malika Chopra. We're talking about her book, Just Breathe, Meditation, Mindfulness, Movement, and More. Malika, were these designed to help kids through everyday life and the challenges they face in school and friends and family?
Absolutely. So, you know, I've wanted to write this book forever because, one, I grew up with these techniques and I really think they were the gifts that my parents gave me. But as I became a mom and watched my daughters grow and watched their friends and my daughters kind of have their own struggles and anxieties, I started to teach just, you know, my fellow parents, people in my community, and I really saw the, you know, from a different side, the effects that it was having. So this book really for me is a way that I can serve by sharing those with the bigger audience. And I've been so just humbled to hear from people, whether it's parents or teachers in the classroom or librarians, about how this really is helping kids to slow down and connect.
You know, it's an interesting thing. About 25 years ago, my late partner was a special education teacher. And she worked with kids who came from broken homes and troubled families and with all types of issues. And these were kids also in the age range from about 12 to about 16. And she had invited me to attend one of her classes and asked the kids if they'd like to join in a chanting and meditation session. And I facilitated that. And these were kids who were basically not bad kids. They were a little bit noisy, hard to sit down and keep quiet and calm. And at the end of the meditation session, they kept on for about 15 minutes of just quietness.
Yeah,
and amazing. They said they loved it. And they started doing that practice from that point on every day. I didn't have to be there. My late partner was able to facilitate it for them. But it changed their lives. It really changed their lives. Do you think that we should have this in our public schools throughout the country?
Oh, of course I do. And I think, you know, you just gave such a great example of why you shouldn't force kids to do this stuff, but let them experience it and do it themselves. And, you know, I remember when my daughter, when I first started teaching, I taught my third grade daughter's Girl Scout group. We did a short meditation and they couldn't move and they were squiggly and they thought it was weird and, you know, the whole bit. And then literally similar thing is towards the end, we had this moment of silence, like for a minute. And then it kind of went on for, you know, another minute. And I remember when we came out like of, you know, that moment there, you know, there was something that had happened. And one of the moms came to me and she said, you know, my daughter may never do this again right now, but maybe 20 years from now, she'll remember that and know that there is a tool that she can go and seek. And so I think just giving our kids, you know, and that should be their right, actually, to find that peace inside is really important. And I think, you know, is about healing and starting the self-healing process.
You would think of California as a progressive state and a place where perhaps this would become part of all the school curriculums. What about the rest of the country? Do you think that this is something that the schools can adopt?
So I think it's happening. I really do. And I think once we, you know, and I think, again, there's controversy around this, but once we strip away the, you know, any religious type of language or making it too spiritual type of language, school districts seem more open to it. And again, what we are talking about with these techniques are, you know, finding your breath, pausing, you know, movement. There, you know, we can really provide tools that deal with the physical and emotional realms of this. And then I think the spiritual comes by, you know, it just comes with it as we connect more. But I've learned a lot. I completed recently at Teachers College a master's in clinical psychology and education. And the reality is, you know, school districts have a lot of rules and regulations and committees and, you know, so it's not necessarily so easy. But I think if we kind of strip it down to the basics of breath and movement and take away, say, kind of the mantras and, you know, some of the things that schools and communities that aren't familiar with this may find threatening, we can still provide these tools for kids.
Have you offered or been approached to create a curriculum?
So I'm getting so much of that right now, and I think I would definitely like to. I think there are some who have done good curriculums. You know, Goldie Hawn has a great organization that goes and has taught a lot of schools, and there's so many great teachers who are doing this. I realize, like, I'm not, you know, I love going into schools and doing stuff, but I really would want to work with an expert on curriculum. So I am in discussions with some people. I've been trying to spend my time right now focused on the next book that I mentioned, Just Feel, which is social and emotional intelligence. And hopefully these can all come together in some sort of curriculum. But one thing I have realized, being at many schools, is every school has its own unique flavor and culture. And so I feel reticent about going in and just creating like a blueprint that will work everywhere. I think it has to be something where kind of the school and the community finds what's right for them.
Absolutely. We sort of touched on this before about kids who are overactive and squiggly. How do you get those kind of kids to relax?
So first of all, I don't think that we have to get them and expect them to sit still. I think that's why yoga is great, or some of these other fun exercises are great, because it could be just giving them techniques to make them feel like they're more in control of their bodies and of their breath. So I would just say, you know, let's not feel like we need to get kids to just be still, because, you know, in movement also we can find peace and flow as well, whether it's through dance or martial arts or other things. So I do think it's, you know, dependent on the kid, dependent on the classroom, and finding what's right for that unique individual. So
absolutely. Best teachers will touch upon the source in the child of what turns them on. And I think that's something that our educational system has to re-examine. I know this happened a lot in the 70s and 80s and sort of went away, but find out what makes it kid tick, what they really love to do, and then use that as the pivot point for their training and their learning.
Absolutely.
You have a wonderful section on imagining who and what a person can be. Children are wonderful at imagining, but it sounds like that part of the book is really for adults, because it talks about how we dream as kids, but we sort of lose those dreams and sight of those dreams as we get older. Is your book for adults too?
So it's so funny, because I clearly wrote this book for kids, and, you know, it's Just Breathe, and it has very simple exercises. But as I mentioned in the beginning, for me, growing up in my family, meditation wasn't about stress reduction, really. Meditation was about discovering who we were, asking questions. I mentioned them before, but who am I? What do I want? How can I serve? What am I grateful for? And so meditation is really, you know, in my family tradition, about self-discovery and thinking about how we can contribute back to our communities. And so for me, that was an obvious to be included in the book, you know, and I've talked my whole life about intention and really helping people think about intention. So, but what's happened with this book, which is fascinating, is I have heard from so many parents and so many adults that this is the best meditation book that they've read. And I think it's because it's written so simply that it gives the techniques without all the intellectualization of it or philosophy of it. And so, yeah, I'm hearing from so many adults how much, you know, the book is helping them, because it kind of really has just stripped it down to be written for young kids. But the techniques are the techniques. You know, it's the same thing whether you're an adult or a kid.
Absolutely. You know, many adults find the current events in the 24/7 news cycle to be both disturbing and stressful. What advice would you offer parents about their children's exposure to this and how to explain and discuss it with them?
So I don't know, you know, I am very disturbed and stressed and obsessed with the 24 news cycle myself as a parent. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think first of all, I realize that I need to disengage and my meditation practice becomes even more important in these stressful times. And also as a parent, my anxiety and stress about the state of our world and our future of our planet and, you know, what kind of society we're creating for our children creates so much anxiety for me that I realize, like, that I don't want to pass that on to my kids. And I am, because I am so stressed about things. So my meditation practice becomes so much more important. In my house, and I think, again, this is a family dynamic, and each family is very different. You know, we are a family that talks a lot about current events and always have. So my children have been exposed to things. So I think it's really up to parents and families to really be, and that's where mindfulness comes in play, is to be aware of your children, your family dynamic, and what's appropriate. So, I don't think there's a blanket rule here. I think it's really as parents or as teachers or caretakers of being aware of your unique set of circumstances with your children and with your dynamic, and then approaching it appropriately.
What would you like readers of all ages to take away from Just Breathe?
Hopefully, just as I've been given this gift by my parents, to be able to manage, my own life. Hopefully they will find tools in there that will help them for a lifelong journey.
Wonderful. Malika Chopra, please tell our listeners one more time how to get your book and find out more about you and this wonderful work.
So Just Breathe is available everywhere, and I'm so grateful for that. So whether you look online or in your local bookstore, they should have it. And then for me, the best place is to visit MalikaChopra.com, MalikaChopra.com. And then I blog at intentblog.com. And of course, I'm on all social media, so that's often the best place also to find me.
Malika, thank you for blessing us with this wonderful work, and I think the timing of this work, especially Just Breathe and your new one, Just Feel, are so important in our world today. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.